You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning. It is a beautiful Wednesday, and it looks sunny outside, mostly.
Yeah,
it is. Mostly sunny.
This time of day usually is, I've noticed, but
well, not necessarily. We've had a lot of rain the last few days, but we're not going to complain about that, are we?
No. Well, my grass needs it bad.
Your grass?
Oh, it looks like pictures from the Sahara Desert out there.
Well, this is Wednesday Live. So glad you're joining us today, and trust you keep your dial set right there at 89.9. And we come to you every Wednesday morning. I have Miss Karen's in the studio this morning.
I am here. Good morning.
With bells on?
Yes.
Bells on, and you're going to promo your program coming up later in the week?
If you want me to.
Sure, promo it. We do that. We support each other.
Yes, we do. Yeah, so Friday, Hidden Places, 11 to 12. And where we talk about whatever the Lord gives us for each day that we meet together with myself and my co-host. And we've been talking as of late about the May 17th event. And so I'll be continuing on with that, talking about the after effects of that and our different thoughts.
So, different thoughts.
Yeah, so we hope you'll join us.
And we might even talk about some of those today, because we have Ann with us as well. David, great to have you as a part of our team.
Thank you. It's always great to be
here. How were your Monday and Tuesday programs? It sounded pretty lively.
Oh, they were both lively, yes, for different reasons. But, we had a great guest on Monday, the Women's Refuge in Vero Beach. Tremendous ministry.
It is.
And they brought some of their residents. They had a great report.
Excellent.
Super testimonies. And Tuesday, a biblical response, we were kind of focusing on some issues, you know, always in the news.
Yep.
And particularly, I got a chance to do teaching, biblically based teaching, which based on, I don't know, because I'll tell you what, if you want to know what we did, go to our website, WCNO.com. Top of the page, go to On Demand. Go to Yesterday, Tuesday, a biblical response. You can listen to the whole program.
It's good.
I will say my part had to do with looking biblically at the whole issue of how we make judgments about people and how often we don't go to God, who is the perfect judge. We end up believing we have the power. And with people in the news, especially our president, and the way some people feel about him. So I think it... between the three of them, myself and Keith Masters was here, and a new member, Lance Winkler, who was sort of filling in for his sister, Stephanie Jacobson. But anyway, I believe God used us to dovetail the points we needed to make.
And you were missing part of your team.
Well, the part of our team was up in Washington, D.C., and she's here today, Ann Limhoko, co-host for both of those programs. Incredibly valuable member of both teams, and not just because you're here. I'm saying that. It's absolutely true. We're delighted to have you with us today.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity to actually give a little small, 10-minute report from D.C.
10-minute report.
Yesterday on the whole event. Yeah, it was I can talk about it later, Jonathan. Well, I know you're going to be asking about that later.
No, right. Kind of like right now. I mean, we have more than 10 minutes to talk about it today. And a lot of times when events are coming, we promote, but we fail to come back and say, well, this is what mm-hmm. happened. This is what God did. This is what we could see. And I was trying to watch. I was looking for you. I was like, oh, where's Ann? Part of our family's up there. And I thought, well, surely after it's all over, you would meander back to where all the news people were. And I'm like, okay, they're looking for somebody to interview. Ann is a perfect candidate.
Amen.
And I'm like,
Amen.
How did they miss Ann? Well, anyhow, you made it up. You made it back safely. And we are going to have later in our program today, Chris Vogel's going to come in as well because we had events here for the National Day of Prayer, which was just last week, and then Sunday we had the big event in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really talking about prayer today, and I want to approach this from an angle that talks about why we call the body of Christ together to pray. Why do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the stage, and that was an amazing stage. It was beautiful. Very well done.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at all the security, looking at, you know, the chairs were out there, mm-hmm. and everything was so well organized. And I looked at that and said, that's a lot of money to make that happen. And I suppose people could say that here as well. We were in the Mid-Florida Event Center,
mm-hmm.
and we could have handled several hundred more people in the event center. And even looking at Washington, I saw a lot of empty chairs there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so the point is, why is it important? Why would we do this? Well, let's just start. How did you end up going to Washington?
What do you mean? Like how the Lord
for
led
this
me
event.
There?
Mm-hmm. For this event.
That... Well, I wasn't planning on doing it, to be honest
you
with
weren't.
You.
Okay.
No, but Holy Spirit spoke through many people who kept asking me to go.
Okay.
Many people who kept asking me to go. When you're like asked by like the second or third person, I was like, Holy Spirit, do you want me to go to this event? And
so you had not specifically planned, prayed, prepared.
I started to pray after like the second person asked me.
Okay.
Because it wasn't my plan. I substitute teach, and it just wasn't part of my plan, and it would have been costly, Jonathan. But I had housing lined up. Because I have a friend from church who used to work for the GSA, which is the General Services Administration. Him and his wife have their best friends in Virginia. They offered for me to stay with them. That fell through. Okay.
No.
So I'm sitting in Bible study when I get the text. And it's like, Ann, we've decided not to go on this trip, you know, and then she recommended hotels. And then I go, okay, God, what's your plan? There's a woman behind me named Arlene Smith who goes to the Bible study that I go to Sunday mornings at Revive. And she goes, Ann, I'm going too, and I didn't want to be by myself. So she is financially blessed, and she got us a hotel, the Residence Inn, a half a mile from the National Mall.
Wow.
And she would not take any money from me. I was able to bless her in other ways, but I was like, God, you made it so clear I'm supposed to be there. And then I contacted Congressman Mass's office, was able to get a White House tour for Arlene and I.
Good.
Just the Lord really, really made it clear that I was to go. And I'm so humbled that I was able to go.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So why?
This is historic. In my spirit, what we do to actually get on our knees, first of all, and repent individually. It has to start with individual. To repent individually what we have
done.
Why
do you say that? Why individual?
Because why do we...
Because sometimes I think people sit, they listen to a message and go, this is great for everybody else.
That's a good question. How do we present ourselves before the Lord without having done our part in repenting for things that we've done?
Mm.
Okay? Things in our past, things that we don't even know we need repentance for. So we actually, I don't know if you saw it, Jonathan, towards the end when Lou Engel went up, we actually got on our knees and repented.
Mm. They didn't show that.
Yeah.
A lot.
That was the best.
I saw him speak, but they focused on him speaking.
I talked about this yesterday in my update. that was the most pivotal part when Lou Engel and Dutch Sheets came up. And he says right away, everybody stand up. I don't know if you heard that.
I did.
And then he said, get on your knees.
I didn't hear that.
So just towards the end, this was what probably it started at 10:30, 10:45. It ended late, like 6 o'clock. And it was this weather that we have right now in Florida is a cold front as to how hot it was in D.C. Direct sun, no clouds. So a lot of people ended up leaving.
Just because.
But my
so
spirit's
hot.
Like, no, Ann, you're here on assignment. You're here on assignment. I ended up sitting at the chairs at one point and then going to the side. But we all, in the shade, we all got on our knees and repented individually for things that we need to. The Lord brought some things to me. And then once you're right before the Lord in that way, Jonathan, is what I believe, then you could take repentance to the national level on behalf of the nation, which is called identificational repentance. And what we've done as a nation, and especially as a church, that we need to repent for. So it was a beautiful moment. And then Dutch Sheets came up. I was just like, God, this is so important. And I knew when the Lord was sending me that this is something that is not, this is historic. People like 250 years from now are going to be like looking back at this moment. And it set something in the spirit. And I'm excited to see what Holy Spirit's going to do after we've made this, I don't know, symbolic act. But if you looked at my Speaker Michael Johnson, he gave a wonderful proclamation, and he's the head of the Speaker of the House. Before that was our President Trump, who read Second Chronicles. You know, that's huge for an administration to support this. So that's why I went. It was amazing.
All of that was pretty great. Karen, did you watch?
I watched the entire day.
Good.
So what was your take?
It was just amazing. But again, like you had said, when Lou Engel and Dutch Sheets went up there, if the Holy Spirit said to me that their work is done, like their portion of the work, because they've been laboring in prayer for 25 and 30 years over the nation, and you know, having all kind of prayer events, you know, throughout the states over these last 30 years, and I felt like this is, they're going to now see the harvest of those prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dutch Sheets, when he went up, he said, this concludes 34 years of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, you know, knows about giving 15. How long has that been happening? But 15 minutes a day, thousands of people pray.
Since I started it in 2020.
Yeah.
It might have been a little prior to that, but it really started to ramp up at that with that last presidential election with so many questions in the air about validity of votes and stuff.
And then Lou Engel, he's been doing the call. Do you know that what
right.
that is?
With the young people.
Where the young people. I didn't go to those when I was younger, but I had many friends and I'd watch it and stream it online. They were calling on the Lord in repentance. It's so beautiful. It was so beautiful that they were at the end.
Amen.
Wow.
So a reset.
Reset.
A reset.
Yes.
Sunday, part of what God put in my heart for this past Sunday came from Isaiah 6. And when we think about the church looking at the world, a lot of times we talk about the world watching the church. But I'm not sure there's been a whole lot for the world to see in the church. You know, so, but when the church looks at the world, how are we to respond? And with something like this, I was in Isaiah chapter 6, and I was just looking at how God dealt with this prophet. And he said, I saw the Lord the year King Uzziah died. He's sitting on a lofty throne. His train robe fills the whole temple. He's having a God encounter in a huge way.
Mm-hmm.
It's personal. It's personal. He's seeking God and he's experiencing God. And the promise of God is if we individually seek God,
yes,
draw nigh to me, I will draw near unto you. I mean, it is a promise. It is
Amen.
An instruction. It is a call.
Amen.
It's more than a casual invitation. I believe it's an emergency 911 for us as a nation to realize everybody talking, oh, these are the last days. You know, we see all this. We knew it was going to come. Yeah, but what are we supposed to be doing? It's here.
Yes.
It's not like hey, it's going to come. No, it has come. And so we are living in a time that is so amazing. It is so amazing. And so I was looking at this, what he saw. And many people don't believe that God does this today, but God still does this today. God puts a call on a hand to go to Washington. And we sing that song, even if you don't see him working. He is working. He's working.
Always.
He's working. Amen. He's working. Amen. Always working.
Always.
And Jesus said that. He said, I'm always working. I'm doing the work of my Father. I'm always doing the work that my Father's doing. And so, you know, he has this vision, and he sees the seraphim with their six wings, the two wings, and covering their feet and remaining two. They're flying in a great chorus. They're singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And the glorious singing shook the temple to its foundation, and the entire sanctuary was filled with smoke. And then verse 5, this is that personal place where when we see God, we recognize how much we need him.
Absolutely.
And what a drought we're in. And so for people who can casually, if you can casually drift in and out of God's presence, then I would just challenge you today to spend more time to get acquainted with God.
Yes.
And to see him in his glory, to see him in his majesty, because then and only then are we able to recognize how much we need him. And the prophet sees that, and he goes, "Whoa, woe is me," in the King James, which I'm not reading from, but I grew up with that. "Woe is me," and I like that. "And my destruction is sealed, for I am a sinful man." And I know some of you are listening today saying, "I'm not a sinful person. You know, I'm a righteous person. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ." And hallelujah for all that. But let me tell you something. When your skin gets close to God's glory, your skin is going to stink.
Yes.
And the Word of God makes this clear, that our righteousness does not stand up and shout to God, "Look how great we are."
Yeah.
But our filthy rags declare we need to have a constant, ongoing washing, cleansing, outpouring with the presence of God. "I'm a sinful man and a member of a sinful race." And when I read that, I see identification. Whoever's the most holy, listen, if God was giving you a vision like this last week, then praise God. But you're going to have a testimony that you understand that we still need a great awakening in our land.
We
the church does.
Yes.
The church does.
Yes.
And it's shocking to me. I don't want to get too political. Well, yes, I do. I want to get political.
Yes.
It's shocking to me that we have a president that is more bold in many issues of faith and moral value than many pastors are. So I do believe that we need to get back on our knees before God.
Amen.
Awesome. David.
I was just going to ask Ann, but I'm going to have a preamble before I ask the question. But since I'd mentioned earlier, since 2020, I'd really, because I was led to Dutch Sheets, Give Him 15 a daily. It's now weekday post, where it's all very encouraging. It has a lot to do with the restoration of America. And then I personally believe, and so many listeners also join me in this, that God got America started. He has a plan for us. He's not done with us yet. But repentance needs to happen. He wants to restore us, and he's certainly working in that direction. So, but there's also, in the early days of my really focusing in prayer for this nation, that I... you know, I was not as hopeful as I wanted to be. Now, over time, that's increased. But let me ask you, Ann, because you were there.
Not as hopeful of what?
Well, not as hopeful of the restoration of America, or maybe maybe in terms of as we see happening today, we see the threat from the political left, and there we also as they get involved, as they hold office, and as they hold sway in D.C. And then along with that, you see what's going on in the culture, an increase in violence against, I was going to say, the conservative side, threats along those lines, shaking the fabric of our nation. And those things disturbed me, why I got into prayer to begin with back in 2020. So, and I've certainly increased in my sense, my hopeful sense. But what I want to ask you, Ann, is having been present physically for this event on Sunday, is one of the things you got a tremendous hope for the nation out of that?
To be honest, I never lost hope for this nation I never did, because if you look throughout his word, he can do something just like that.
Right.
And the Lord has made me, even when I was young, to just love this nation. You know, yeah. I went to work for the government for 20 years because of public service. But yes, it was reaffirmed the hope, because if you look at this line, there were ladies that waited 4, 5, 6 hours in line to just get into the vet. There were thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people that came from all over the United States and all over different parts of the world. And they all are like, they're believers. And you could see a lot of them were sent. They had an assignment to go. And I'm talking, a lot of them were senior citizens. And it was not easy conditions. Jonathan, you said in the beginning it was organized pretty well. Unfortunately, the food was. Like, we didn't eat all day because it was 2.5, 3 hour lines for food. But people persisted and stayed. Some people left because you said you saw empty chairs. Towards the end, there were empty chairs. But to see the droves of people that came and made the sacrifice, it was a renewed hope. And it was nice to be around the thousands and thousands and thousands of people, especially walking in. And there were hecklers. There were protesters there.
Of course.
Like a lot of people wearing pride colors. And then a big sign that says Christian nationalists, you know. And they're allowed to protest. But then there's one on the street, you know, and she's the one who's saying First Amendment. And she's just saying lots of things that were not true. But then an African-American guy in front of him and has Christian music on is saying, if you love the Lord, worship the Lord. You know, so he was drowning out her. And it was beautiful, though. Yeah. And it brought a lot of hope to see a lot of people there. But I never lost hope. And that's because Holy Spirit put that in me.
Yeah.
So,
amen. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah.
Want to welcome Chris Fogel. Chris, you're going to be with us on through the end of the hour, and so you're coming in, and it's all about prayer today. Why does it matter? Why should the church spend the money, put all the work into events to call the church to come together? Now, you were watching this as well Sunday, I'm sure.
Well, in fact, I just got back from Washington. I was up there for Israel Advocacy Day, which was powerful. We had over 500 rabbis and pastors together.
Wow.
And it was...
What was the purpose of the gathering?
Was to basically proclaim that Israel, we support Israel, our support for Israel, and to just do away with this replacement theory. That the church has replaced Israel.
Replacement theology.
And, and so we heard representatives from even the Catholic Church who now stand firmly against replacement theology.
Amen.
So they made that public. So it was really interesting. I had a chance to sit on the Monday night service with a rabbi and three of his workers who build bomb shelters in Israel.
Okay.
But the unity that we have with our brothers and sisters in Israel is important.
Yes.
And prayer is the answer. I mean, when the curtain was torn, we were given that invitation to go before Almighty God and to not take advantage of what God has given us. To me, is foolishness. And it's going to be prayer that's going to bring this country together. Nothing else. It's prayer. It's setting God apart from everything else.
Very important. Very important. I watched that video clip, the World War II story. We Are All Jews. That was absolutely powerful, what they played, where someone stood up and was willing to take a stand and influence the entire group to say, no, the Jews are not going to be split off. We're all going to be Jews today. We're all going to stand up together. And really, for the church, we are there's so many discussions out there that Israel today is not the real biblical Israel and all this kind of stuff that takes place. And we've had Jonathan Kahn with us, and we've had Paul Wilbur, and we will perhaps have more guests come on the Treasure Coast that are going to speak to some of these issues. But our young people are being influenced in secular education.
Yeah.
That this is the reality. And so I'm dealing with some of this with some of the youth that I know. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that the church understand the covenant relationship that God has with Israel,
yes,
his people. You may say, well, are they all righteous? No, they're not all righteous. The Word of God tells us that. But more and more are becoming righteous. And we have an obligation, I believe, as the early church to the Jew first and then to the Greek.
Yep.
And so we continue to do that. So going back, Ann, to you, mm-hmm, and going up there, whatever it cost, God took care of that. What did you bring out of that? You said you never lost hope for America, but what I was watching and listening and actually I was hoping to see our president do something special in addition to what he already did. And maybe that's just me, but
a lot of us were thinking the same thing, Jonathan.
I was wanting to hear the president do. He could be anywhere in the world. He could be in his office, could be anywhere.
Yeah.
But I just want to say it. I'm thrilled that we have a president that's giving space and time, mm-hmm, and recognition to biblical truth and to the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really was hopeful to see something current from our president speaking on that day that we as a nation, mm-hmm, I as the president, mm-hmm, rededicate this nation to God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe believers all over the world were doing that, and all over, mm-hmm, our world, all over our nation, mm-hmm, were doing that. But how did you take that?
The is your question about the president, yeah, or the whole?
Well, what did you take out of it? What did you bring back? Because to me, this was a day of rededication.
Absolutely.
That was my focus, and I believe that's why a lot of people went.
Well, just so you know, the day before, there was a huge worship event with Sean Foyt right next to the National Monument, and that was a good 4 hours long of us bathing the Capitol. I guess he does this every year in D.C. I don't know how many years he's done it. Mm. So we stood in worship for 4 hours. Mm. And we're talking with a Nigerian pastor, an Egyptian pastor, and we're worshiping the Lord first. So we're bathing it, okay? And I was out to dinner with Sean Foyt and a party the night before, so we were able to talk. And then, just so you know, Jonathan, I don't know how much of this was advertised, but then after the Rededicate 250 event, then a lot of us went to Mercy Culture. Do you know Mercy Culture Church in Texas? They're opening a D.C. campus. Okay. We went over to the Howard Theater, and it's not the best area in D.C. We all took the train at 6:30 p.m. And then at this event, at the Mercy Culture Worship event, Heather Schott, she's the pastor's wife of Mercy Culture Church, she said that she was not impressed, and I just want, this is all out there, she was not impressed with the pomp and circumstance of the event, because a lot of it was the who's who. That's what she saw, the who's who. And she said, how come we did not do any repentance of abortion? So what we did was we all did, again, like what we did, a repentance individually. We got on our knees at Mercy Culture, and then we also did repentance for abortion, which has killed how many lives?
60, 70 million.
Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, Jonathan, this whole weekend was historic in the spirit, and what we did as a nation collectively, led by our president, who in the Bible, if we see kings do something like King Jeremiah in 2 Kings, what he does, the people will follow. And I believe it sets something in the spirit, and to be there and pray and join with others was such a moment that I'm so humbled that the Lord even allowed me to go. You know, I wasn't planning on going. It would have been comfortable to watch from the TV, sure, you know, and you're in air conditioning. I couldn't even sit the whole time. I'm wandering usually through the whole thing because it was so hot, trying to find water, trying to find, you know, shade. But I was just so, so, so humbled that I got to go. And it was a reset in the spirit. You could feel something in the spirit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's hard to explain, but you could feel the reset in the spirit. So,
amen. So God is at work even when you don't see it on your agenda. That's what God was reminding me of. God is at work. And there's a lot of work to be done in the church still, and God is at work to do that as well. You know, we were talking earlier about the importance of revival awakening starting in us individually.
Yes.
And was sort of pulled into that passage in John with the lady who's caught in the issue of adultery. She's caught in the act of adultery in that passage. And in thinking about the fact that many have spoken to, we don't know where the guy is. So one of the things God was speaking to me about is that often religion or religious activity or even church can be a place where fingers are being pointed at one person, but there's another partner in that sin. And I believe God is still looking to the church for us to do that Second Chronicle scripture.
Yes.
Humble ourselves.
Yes.
Pray. Turn from our wicked ways. And then the healing will follow. And Karen, I know you speak to this a lot on your program.
Yes. Sorry, I was writing something.
So no, I saw
fully hearing what you were saying. I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
But I want to say that my overall view of this is that the president gave the church a place at the table.
Yes.
Thank you.
You know,
that's good.
So over many years, you know, over the last several years, we've been hearing people say, well, you know, our group doesn't have a chance to go sit at the table, or our group doesn't go have a chance. But God, through President Trump, has given the church a place at the table, and that it's up to the church now to show forth the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
Like the doors open for the church. So, you know, all our individual behaviors and how we treat others, God is watching. And this is like we've crossed over. I think
it's like a new chapter is what you're saying, right?
Yes. Because and that we take advantage of this time in the Lord. And I believe that humility is going to carry every believer very far in this hour as time goes on. So it behooves us to stay humble and be a servant of the Lord, not a servant of yourself. And, you know, that God is going to be watching those that have humbled themselves.
You know, I go back to Miles Monroe.
Oh, yeah.
And I think about, if you ask me what I see the problem today in the church, is the church does not understand kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We're still operating in a democracy in our churches today,
mm-hmm.
and Christ is not about democracy. He's about a kingdom,
mm-hmm.
one king. And it's hard for people in this country to be true Christians when they don't understand what a kingdom is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're dealing with all these, well, the Congress is saying this. When we pick up God's word, there is no amendments.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that has to be changed. There are no bylaws.
That's good.
Yes.
And so Miles Monroe had it from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. It's a kingdom.
Yeah.
And he said that's going to be the hardest thing for America to understand, for the church in America to understand, that it's kingdom first.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we have to turn to. We have to turn to the king. And the king is Christ. It's not Trump. It's not anybody else.
Right.
It's Jesus Christ.
Good point. Let's go to a song. We'll be back in just a moment. So glad you're listening today. Keep your dial set right there at 89.9. This is the Good News Station coming to you from Palm City, Florida. And so glad that you grabbed a bite out of your day to join us here.
How sweet the sound that brought the Son of Heaven down. How vast the love He has for me, that nailed into that shameful tree. as he rose in victory. His blood shed on the mercy seat. The power of sin and shame erased, and crowned the name above all names, the most beautiful name I know, the most beautiful name I know. It is by the name of Jesus I am saved, the most beautiful name I know. When in the heavens we will meet, I'll cast my crowns there at His feet. His praises evermore. All glory to that matchless name, the most beautiful name I know, the most beautiful name I know. It is by the name of Jesus I am saved, the most beautiful name.
Amen. And of course, that song is The Most Beautiful Name I Know. And we are continuing with Wednesday Live today. Have a full studio. And Chris Fogle, welcome.
Thank you.
To WCNO. And want to thank you and the whole team that works with you with the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance in making this hour possible. That this is a sponsored hour by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. So welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So we're going to want to talk a little bit about the National Day of Prayer, what happened there, a little bit about what the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is is at work to see accomplished. And so let's just start with the National Day of Prayer. Really, it was great all this pulled together between this past Sunday, the rededication, and the National Day of Prayer, very close together.
Well, we have been honoring the National Day of Prayer since we've been formed.
That's true. That was one of the first missions, really. It was handed off to us.
And our ministry is a little bit different than maybe some in that what we try to do is bring the leaders of the community, business leaders, civic leaders, the people that are in the ability to make things happen, good and or bad. And we have been blessed over time to see more and more of our elected officials become part of our gatherings. Hmm. So at the National Day of Prayer, the very first person that spoke and was eloquent was Sheriff Richard Del Toro. And after Richard spoke, we invited the elected officials that were sitting up front to come up on stage, and we were able to pray over them. That's just powerful.
Yeah.
You can see that they can feel a presence that they don't feel in their chambers.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is a power much greater than what they have. And so we had other pastors spoke. And then at the end, we had a dear friend of ours who's been a part of a number of our gatherings from Miami, Pastor Joaquin Molina, who, as my wife said, she could have listened to him for a lot longer than he spoke. Mm-hmm. And I think he really touched the hearts of many people there. And he was humble in his presentation. He talked about how before he was saved, and he gave the story of the ring, which I think you've played on the radio. It's powerful. So it's not just that. We're doing other things. We have Treasure Coast Day of Prayer, which we started about 4 years ago, and that's another gathering. You say, well, what's the Treasure Coast Day of Prayer, and when do you have it? Well, we have it the fourth Thursday of September. Well, why that date? Why not any other date? Because it falls between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, time of atonement and a new year. What a wonderful time to gather together leaders again to pray. And we do the Christmas Proclamation Supper, which every year is up to 500 people. And we've had many national speakers who have been our guests who have made the statement. They have never seen this in anywhere in the United States, where when they look at the audience, they see Black, Hispanic, white. They see business leaders, civic leaders, and pastors. And they see a unity. And that's what God has called the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance to do. Now it gets even more miraculous. If you think you can get six or seven pastors together to meet on a regular basis that come from different denominations, that is a miracle in and of itself.
Amen.
But it's a joy. And Jonathan, you have been our president since the beginning. And you have done, under your leadership, we have just grown and have excelled. We just had our most recent meeting, was kind of to debrief what went on at the National Day of Prayer, what we could do better or what we did well. But then we went into prayer. We spent the rest of the morning in prayer to say, God, what do you want our alliance to do? What is your will for us? And so it's nothing that we do on our own. What we do in prayer. So we're going to have more on this later, but we're going to do something new this year. We're going to have a New Year's Eve event. And this alliance board has a lot of gray hair on it. And the gray hair with wisdom said, we need some people with black hair
or just hair.
That's how Lodabar
is. I'm speaking for myself.
I don't want to go there, but that's true. But we have some youthful leaders that are so excited about putting together a gathering for New Year's Eve. And what we have been praying over is this. We just don't want this to be a gathering for New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
We want this to be like an Azusa Street spark revival for our whole community.
Amen.
So that we're not into events. We want gatherings to grow. We want more reasons for people to come together in prayer simultaneously. You know, this is what the Lord wants to see. He wants to see his people.
Yes.
That he has raised up.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
To publicly, and that's the other thing we do is the Alliance. We do mostly all our events in public so as not to really distinguish with any one church. Now, we do some things in churches, but most of our large gatherings are in public.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can proclaim the name of Jesus Christ in the public,
yes.
Amen.
Our community has been rewarded with a lot of good things that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's coincidental. I don't think it's the great leadership of the Economic Development Council that I was on. I think God has been providing for our community. Do we have problems? Of course we do. And we're always going to have problems. Like Jesus said, there's always going to be people that are poor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think we're trying to create excitement with our Christian brothers and sisters to realize that we are much better together. The division is Satan's game.
Mm-hmm.
Our game is multiplication.
Mm-hmm.
There is a work of God that is unique in different settings. For those who work in prison ministry, they'll come and say, all of you need to go to the prison with us. Mm-hmm. You all need to go to the prison because God moves in a different way in the prison. To those who are working in recovery, they're going to say, you need to come with us to a celebrate recovery or to a recovery meeting because what God does there is powerful. It's unique. But it is true. Anything we do that's beyond our comfort zone and normal borders, there is a freshness of God that is released when that takes place. And I am so delighted and thrilled to just be a part with some of the brothers in the area. And it goes back a lot of years. I believe many have had vision, maybe that was beyond where they ever got to, but I see more and more people being raised up, and it's kind of tough for us to think about how can I be a blessing to my brother's church where he pastors, or a different signs out front than my logo, and how can I be a blessing to them, and what does the Word of God mean when it says, in honor, prefer one another?
Mm.
How are we supposed to actually do that? What does that look like? And what does it mean to serve from the feet? Jesus was teaching his disciples, wash feet. Peter was, you know, he wasn't a perfect shot with a sword. He took an ear off, but, you know, he was swinging. He wasn't perfect, but he struggled with the towel. But the Treasure Coast Alliance calls us to understand the greatness of service to one another and lifting up Christ together. And it's absolutely huge. It's huge.
Well, to your point, you know, that's something we talked about that we could do on Monday, Thursday, is to gather a group of our pastors from the Treasure Coast and wash feet. Just the pastors.
That's beautiful.
So we talked about, we had done that years ago. And then COVID came, and the great curse of Satan. But it's something that we know that we can do. Now, that would be with just pastors, but I think it's powerful.
And breaking bread together.
Absolutely.
That all took place. And it again, the breaking of bread is all about Jesus and his provision. We remember him. But part of what we are to remember is we need to, if we're able, remember how to get down on our knee and serve one another and what that looks like. And amen. Karen, you had some thoughts in reference to what you took from the Sunday event, and we're just talking about prayer in general. And you have an upcoming program on Friday. You're going to talk some more about it, want to promote a bit. What's a bit that's on your heart?
Yes, as I was watching towards the end of the event, I suddenly saw this yellow dress with a blue apron, or blue apron with yellow dress. And I was like, what is that? And I heard the Lord say, service, humility, then harvest. And the yellow dress, I thought of Snow White. And I don't really remember all of that, all of the story about Snow White, but she went and found the little cabin in the woods, and it was a mess, so she just went in there and started cleaning it. And I just, I'll talk more about it Friday, but I just have the sense that the Lord is really calling the church to really serve others with humility. You know, we've seen the fake humility. We've seen the fake meetings with people try to, they come together and they try to humble themselves and they try to, you know, but yet they still, the egos are still sitting there. But I believe the Lord really is going to demonstrate through really authentic believers that that's what we're going to begin to see are those that are really walking in humility, and that God's going to elevate that to model for the church. And not that there aren't people that are humble and stuff, but it's going to become a greater thing in the church, service and humility. And then comes the harvest after that. And you were just talking about the foot washing. And anyway, so I'll talk more about that on Friday when I get more info. So,
good promo for the show, Karen.
Good.
Yeah, it's good.
Hidden Places.
So tune in Friday.
Every Friday at 11 a.m. Right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
But, you know, it's interesting how the, like, your programs and Wednesday Live and how they're all woven together, even though we, you know, we don't plan with each other what we're going to talk about. But apparently this is what the Lord is bringing
the Lord
to the forefront.
Is doing. The Lord is doing. So a few years back, a lady said, you know, I sense God's putting something on my heart to share. It was around the National Day of Prayer. Just a lady from our congregation that has a real sweet spirit. And, you know, I've heard God speak through her on more than one occasion. And she didn't make a big deal out of it, didn't need a mic, didn't want the stage. She just passed me a note that said that God had been putting on her heart from that passage. We moved to the confessing our sins in prayer and such forth. But she said, God was telling me, humble. That's where it started. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And you say, well, humble ourselves before God. Yes, but I believe that comes back to what Jesus did in service in that upper room.
Well, and he said, I came to serve, not to be served.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's contrary to...
You're talking about Almighty God.
Yes.
We're not talking about words for a minute. Think about it.
Yeah.
Almighty God said, I came to serve and not be served. What a mighty God.
So if you look at...
It's powerful.
You know, when President Trump, you know, when they replayed him reading 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's as if the Lord is giving the church permission to do it, that this is what the Lord is speaking. You know, because I've probably with others have said, you know, how many times do you have to repent? How many times are we going to just keep, you know, we just keep like, you know, Lou Engel and them, 30 years is keep repenting for the nation. And, you know, God is going to move. It's the time that God is going to move right now. And I think that this is what the turning point is.
Yeah.
Is that there, that shift in the church is going to be real humility and real service to others, and that, that God is going to elevate the church to the nation and to the world.
And why should we not see it that way? When 9/11 happened and we watched those planes and they've been played over and over and over and over and over again, at that time I recognized that our nation had come to another place where we had left our gates open and we had dropped our guard and we'd become complacent. And this event, really, I believe going back with Jonathan Kahn and all that were a part of the return, when the return happened, I know, Dave, you were talking about that. I believe that today we are seeing fruit, like you're saying. These that have been praying for a lot of years, we're seeing fruit. And really, all of us who have people we're praying for believe and stand in faith. And when we say, as for me and my house, thinking of a precious lady, she's with the Lord today, Luella. And Luella, she in her house, she had all kinds of scriptures all over the place. But right where her husband, who was a blockhead, stubborn as all get out, mouthy, had no interest in God, but she put right in front of him, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So where he sat to eat, he had to see that. So for something like 37 years,
wow,
he looked at that and did not respond. His wife died. I officiated her service. She went to be with the Lord. 2 weeks later, he's at a graduation out at the fairgrounds, Fort Pierce, somewhere up there. And fell. He has a heart condition, heart attack or something. He falls, breaks his neck. He's in the bleachers.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Mm. Dies. It's 20-some minutes before they even get to him and start transporting him to the hospital. So I stood in the hospital with the family, with the doctor saying, this guy is, you know, your father is not alive. Mm-hmm. This is a machine. Hopefully the family's coming in. There's nothing we can do. There's no brain activity. There's nothing. By the next morning, the doctor said, now there is something going on in his brain.
Wow.
By the end of that next day, we might want to talk about next surgery because something is happening in this man. God would raise him up. Bob Rogers, God would raise him up. He would drive again. He would testify.
Amen.
And he would share the glory of God.
Praise
37
God.
Years believing God. Some of you have been praying for your family. You've been joining us praying for our nation. And it's important to know that God hears, God answers prayer, but he does it on his calendar.
Yes.
Amen.
Not on
Amen.
Mine.
And not to ever give up when we've prayed.
Never give
well,
up.
Well,
yeah.
And I think James writes it best. He says that the effective, fervent
yes.
prayer of, and this is the key, of the righteous. And I always tell people before I pray, I ask for forgiveness. Because if I'm praying and I'm not in a righteous state, I don't believe I'm being heard. And I'm now witnessing my son-in-law of 26 years now excited going to church. He went to church on Sunday when my daughter was working at the hospital. So I'm in shock.
But that's fruits from your
that's
prayer.
Prayer.
Yeah.
That's Peter getting out of jail, though, right? You know, everybody's praying for a jailbreak.
Yeah.
And Peter's
shows up at the door.
Hey, would you please let me in? Would you please let me in? So we are now seeing the door open. We're seeing the door open. God's given us
what happened Sunday is a result of the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of prayers that people have prayed for this nation. There's a lot of people in their homes who are praying every day, not just the Dutch Sheets or the Lou Engles, but everyday people like us who have interceding for this nation.
Amen.
So,
amen.
And, you know, you made a good point. We tend to focus on the lions, but the cubs that Jesus talked about, the lady who only had the one coin and she was giving that.
Yes.
Which is so important to him as anything else that's being done. So.
Yeah.
Anybody that's listening, you're as important as anybody else. You are God's creation.
Yes.
There you go. As we close this morning, I want to just grab a moment of prayer. And you were just there.
Yeah.
And so I'd like you just to start, and then Chris, I'd like you to close because you were just there. And what we've been talking about today is a rededication, a return, a new beginning, I believe, a new beginning in a sense, but not just with our nation, but also with the covenant people of God, where God, the door to the Gentiles may not be as widely opened as it once was, but the door to the Jews as a nation is opening, and we see that. Anne.
Jesus. We honor you. We love you.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for this time, Lord Jesus, that we get to be alive. And we thank you, God, for placing President Trump for such a time as this. And thank you for giving us this opportunity, Lord Jesus, where we can see the fruits of our prayers, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for hearing every one of our prayers. And Lord Jesus, accepting us, Lord God, the repentance that we've done before you and hearing our prayers that as we seek your face and turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves, you will hear and turn our land, Lord Jesus. This is your nation, and we thank you for what you've done. because you put all the pieces into place. This is because of prayers, and you've heard our prayers. And we thank you, God, that this is a start to something new. And I pray that the church would rise up like never before. And Lord Jesus, remain humble, but also at the same time, know their authority in Christ and know that we are the light of this nation. And I thank you that there is hope in this nation because you, Lord Jesus, are God of this nation. So we come humbly before you. We thank you for what you've done in the spirit and what's to follow. And Lord, help us as we move forward as a nation.